Well, turn to Luke chapter 8, if you will. We're going to look at verses 4 to 15. I know you know the parable of the good sower. It's a wonderful passage. And what happened was, I think it was Together We Can Receive Guidance. It was in this last series we did of partnering with God. There was a message, I think it was one or two messages in, and it had so much in it about how to receive guidance from God. I had said, we're going to do a series on this, just on this topic. So what we're going to do starting this morning is a four-part series about hearing God, receiving guidance from God, how can I know it's God speaking to me, all these types of things, because it's so critically important. It's typically one of the most asked for message series in the church, parenting and how can I hear from God. So in Luke 8, verses 4 to 15, we're going to look at that passage. Go ahead and get your outline there. And if you're familiar with the Bible, you know one of the things from the start of the scriptures to the end, one of the most prominent verses you will see is something to the effect of, and God said. So we know that God speaks through donkeys, God speaks through prophecy, through men, God speaks through others, God speaks through all kinds of incredible ways, both in Scripture and out of Scripture. But you get the idea, reading God's Word, that God really does speak to you and I. He wants us to hear Him. He wants us to know that we have this personal relationship with Him. And since it is personal, communication has to take part. So, there's no relationship without communication. And I see that Victoria has left now with the kids to go downstairs and do a lesson. So I can now say this. The problem with communication, isn't it, is that we're often misunderstood. Two people are talking, communicated. When my wife speaks to me, I often, A, don't hear it, and B, misunderstand it. Now, I'm sure I'm the only man, the only husband that's ever felt this way, but men, just so you know, there are two things that you need to understand about women, and nobody knows what they are. So, if with my wife, who I've spent much of my life, that I know and I love, and we have this personal relationship, and we communicate, and there are problems, misunderstandings, if you will, with communication between us, then imagine the problems that there can be, the misunderstandings, if you will, between us and God, who we have this personal relationship with. There are communication problems that you and I have with God. Some people think pastors are so in tune, they always understand exactly what God wants them to do or us to do, and they hear this clarion voice all the time, and that is just not true. I am often as confused as you are about what God is saying, what God is trying to say to me, perhaps into a situation or an issue or whatever. But on the other hand, I can tell you there have been times in my life when I have heard God speak to me, and I know without a doubt it was Him, what He said, and what He wanted me to do. So that takes place. It's like when I call my wife and she answers the phone. I don't wonder who it is on the other end of the phone because we have this relationship, but because also of this attitude that we have between each other, because of this closeness, I understand it's her voice. When I call her, I don't have to say hello. Is this Victoria? I can recognize her voice. And God says, I want it to be the same way with you. That if you have the right attitude when I speak to you, you will know it's me and you will understand. So what's the difference? How can we do that? You see in your outline there, learning or how to hear God speak. In other words, learning to hear God's voice is this entire series. So there's nothing more important, first, if we can establish the basics this morning, that God wants to speak to you, that God wants you to understand what He's saying, and he just wants you to tune in to him. And so Jesus says once in Luke 8:8, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. So in other words, he says, get your ears on. This is the Lord speaking. He's saying, I want you to get it tuned in to what it is that God's saying. And so right now, you're sitting here in Lenore, North Carolina, in First Christian Church, and do you realize that there are radio waves going through your body, microwaves going through your body, broadcast television waves going through your body? All of this is filling this room and going through here right now, but we don't hear it, we don't see it, because we're not tuned into it. Our reception is a little fuzzy when it comes to those things. And so what God is saying is, right now, I'm speaking to many of you. I am trying to communicate with many of you, and I just want you, if you have the right attitude, you'll be able to tune in. That reception won't be fuzzy, and you'll be able to get what it is that I'm sending out, that I'm talking. So Jesus tells the story, Luke 8, it's this great parable. And often when we look at this parable of the soils, we think, you know what, it's four distinct things, four different things. And what I want you to understand this morning is what Jesus is saying is, no, when it comes to hearing from God, this parable is about four different attitudes that you and I may have at different times of our life. It's not four different distinct types of people. One is like this, one is like this, and so forth. But it's the fact that you and I can be like any one of these four. And Jesus wants you to understand that you can save a lot of time, a lot of misunderstanding, a lot of mistakes, if you just do this one thing. So he says God wants to comfort you. He wants to speak into your life. He wants you to understand him. All these things. So Jesus says, okay, let me tell you a story. Once there was a farmer, and he was broadcasting, if you will. So this farmer, if you've ever seen like pictures of Johnny Appleseed, he has this big pouch on his side with a strap, and he'll reach in and get seed and scatter it around. That's how farmers did it back then. That's where we get the term broadcast, broadcast television, broadcasting. You're scattering the seed out. So at the level they would till fields back then, it would be prepared primitively. But then the farmer would go out and broadcast, scatter seed in the field. Some of it would land on good soil, but some of it would not. And this is the comparison contrast that Jesus is using here. He's saying these four soils in this parable represent four mental attitudes, if you will. Not four kinds of people, because we've been all four of these types that he's talking about. We vary. Sometimes we may be very open to what God is saying to us. And he says sometimes we may not be. And it relies upon us which one we're going to be. So look at number one. How do I hear God speak to me? Keep your passage open there. First, I must cultivate an open mind. And so if you want to hear God speak to you, if you want to hear from God, you want to be eager and receptive and ready and willing to hear what God says to you, not an audible voice. Please understand me. I'm not necessarily saying you're going to hear, you know, Bill, I want you to hear me. It's nothing like that, but it may be something very clear, very clarion that you can understand anyway. This impression, this sense, this confidence, this conviction in your mind and heart and spirit that you say, I know this is from God. And so when you've got a closed mind, that's not going to get through. So Jesus tells this story. Verse 5 in this parable, the first type of soil. Some seed fell on the path and it was trampled on. The birds of the air came and ate it up. Verse 12, those along the path are like people who hear and then the devil comes along and takes away the word from their hearts so they cannot believe and be saved. So this is one of those parables where Jesus tells a parable and then he interprets the parable for those closest to him. So Jesus is saying to this first century audience, you guys know, on every farm and every field in the farm, there's this path, and it's where you walk, so you're not walking on the seeds and so forth. And there's these two characteristics of this footpath that would typically parallel, go along this field. And he say, one, it would be hard as concrete, because of the continual foot traffic on it. And so it's compacted. It's not fertile. It's not tilled. This is the word picture he's trying to elicit here. And he's saying the other thing, besides the fact that it's hard, is that it's very narrow. You wanted to till. You wanted to grow as much as you could off your field. So he says it's very narrow and it's very hard. And when Jesus says this, what he's asking them, what he's asking you and me, is he says, do you know anybody like that? That's very narrow, that's very hard. In other words, he's saying they're closed-minded, they're narrow-minded, they're hard-hearted. They're not even open to the possibility that God might, can, and would like to speak to them. Now, I'm talking about Christians. So as a result, Jesus says, the farmer sows the field here with the seed, but it can't penetrate this narrow, hard footpath because it's hard and compacted, and so it can't take root, it can't sprout, even to the fact that it never gets a chance, so the birds, they come and eat it. And he's saying, this is what happens with God's communication, if you will, to people like that. And it's true with many of us. God wants to speak to me. He wants me to understand, but he doesn't get a chance because perhaps my mind is closed, my heart is hard. I've made up my mind. I'm unwilling to listen. I know what I want to do in this situation. I don't want to hear from you, God. This is what Mark says is going to happen. So what causes us to have a closed mind? Why would we sometimes be like this individual that Jesus is talking about? Well, first, pride. Pride causes all of us to end up with a closed mind. You know, God, I don't need to hear from you in this. I think I know what needs to happen in this encounter, meeting, situation with my family. I know what to say to my wife, to my children. I know how to handle this or that or whatever it is. I don't need to pray about this. God, I've got this one, and everything's fine. I can handle this mess. I can correct this error. I can handle this conflict. Whatever the situation in life is, that's called pride. And when I'm full of pride, when I close my mind, when I become narrow and hard, God says, I can't get through to you. You don't pray. You think you've got it all figured out. You are not receptive. It's not good soil, in other words. Second thing is fear. What if God speaks to me? What if he tells me something I don't want to hear? What if he tells me something I don't want to do? You know, what if it's something that might be unpopular or cause me some inconvenience or whatever it might be? I just say, no thanks, God. I've closed my mind on this one, and I don't want to hear, simply out of fear of what he might say. And the third one is bitterness. We live in a fallen world. Everything that happens to us, God doesn't cause, but sometimes he allows it. We live with fallen humanity, sinful humanity. People are going to hurt you. You will be hurt in this life. You will have pain in this life on earth. And so you come to a point when you have that where you see innocent people suffer, or you have suffered because of one individual or another or situation, whatever it might be. Not everything that happens is necessarily God's first choice that comes your way in life, but you get to a point where you have to say, what will I do with that hurt? What will I do because of how I feel about that situation? And I have to make the decision, will it make me bitter or will it make me better? And if it makes me bitter, then I will be closed-minded, but if it makes me better, I will be able to tune in to what God is saying. And so in spite of those three things, pride, fear, bitterness, look at James 1, or just listen to James 1:21. In spite of those three things, get rid of all the moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent and humbly accept, notice that, accept, the word planted in you which can save you. In other words, God is saying, I love you. I want you to drop your defenses. I want you to open up your mind. I want you to humbly accept what I'm saying to you. And so the first thing you and I have to do is we have to cultivate that open mind. The second thing, look at your outline there. I must allocate time to listen. I've got to slow down. I've got to be quiet. I've got to put it in my schedule. You and I live in a day and age where we schedule everything from doctors and dentist appointments to business meetings to this and that. And so God is saying, do you schedule some of your time with me? Or do I just get the leftovers in your busy, hectic schedule? Americans are always in a hurry. We live in a rat race society. American demographics, they were talking about, especially you ladies. You ladies remember when you wanted orange juice, what would you do? You would go to the store and buy this little solid frozen block of stuff in a tube, wouldn't you? You'd take that metal end off, or maybe you'd take it out of the freezer and let it sit in the fridge. Then you'd pour that frozen ice block in the pitcher and fill it up with water and let it sit, and then you'd stir it. Boy, that was horrible, wasn't it? But that's why the frozen concentrate industry is now doing next to nothing, because people don't want to take the time to thaw stuff out. You would have thought Federal Express overnight delivery would have been quick enough. It's not quick enough. Now we want to be able to email and fax and scan and send stuff in a nanosecond, because we don't want to take the time to wait 24 hours. And what God is saying is, in this hurried lifestyle, he can get so shortchanged. We want to hear God speak, but we say, okay, God, I'm in a hurry. I'm always running late. I'm always hurrying somewhere. And so right now, I'm running out the door to my next project, my next assignment, and you've got about 5-10 minutes here to speak to me. Give it to me. As a result, we miss what God wants us to hear. Verse 6, other seed fell on shallow soil with rock beneath. This seed began to grow, but soon withered and died for lack of moisture. And then verse 13, the interpretation. Those on the rock are the ones who receive the word with joy when they hear it, but they have no root. They believe it for a while, but in the time of testing, they fall away. So, just as in the hardened path, that first soil, if you will, that represented the closed mind, the narrow, the hardened mind. Okay, here we have the shallow soil, and what Jesus is saying to us is this represents the superficial mind. He's saying it's a shallow situation. And so when he's talking about rocky soil, he's not talking about like we were just talking about in Granite Falls, where I can't dig in my yard without hitting a chunk of granite this big or this big. He's not talking about rocky soil like that. He's talking about the fact that I've mentioned this in Palestine. There's about 2 or 3 inches of topsoil with this bed of limestone underneath. So you would plant in the soil, but the roots wouldn't go very deep because they literally hit this rock, this limestone, and so they appear to grow up, they appear to do fine, but the roots can't get deep and get into moisture, so when the heat comes, the drought comes, they shrivel up, they die. And so again, Jesus would know that they understood this word picture, and he's saying this represents you and I if we are a superficial hearer of God. In other words, we hear the word of God, it sprouts up right away, and we get excited about it. It seems to be that there's some produce from the activity, if you will. But when the heat's on, when the water stops, whenever it might be, when problems come our way, they will wither and fall away. And so he's saying, likewise, it's with you and us as people. Sometimes we hear God, we get excited about it, we're momentarily, superficially, if you will allow me to use that, move. And then we never allow that time to sink into our bodies, our hearts, our mind, and our spirit. I was so moved by that message, Mark, great message. A month later, nothing's changed. No perceivable life change. No change in behavior in their life. They are living the same way. They didn't do anything about what it was they heard. And as a result, Jesus says they are shallow. They are superficial. They have no roots, and when the heat's on, the drought's on, they are not going to last. Why is it that we don't change? U.S. Air Force, famous study. Within 72 hours, you forget 90 to 95% of everything you've heard. So I'm speaking for 25, 30 minutes this morning, and by Wednesday night, you've forgotten all of it, except 5%. You typically remember the illustrations and the jokes. That's real encouraging for pastors. But that's true. That is the human condition. That's why I like to give outlines. That's why if you are so moved, you have it written down, you can go back to the scriptures and you can say, you know what? I don't remember what Mark was talking about last Sunday, but I've got it stuck with the passage in my Bible, and oh yeah, I remember. I wanted to do something with that. I wanted to apply it. It answers the question that we've all asked. How is it that people can come to church year after year after year and never really change? Because it goes in one ear and out the other. Verse says, in the second kind of person, verse 13, they received the word with joy, notice that, received it with joy, but when they hear it, they don't have any root. In other words, Jesus is saying, you can be thrilled, but not transformed. There can be a lot of heat, but not a lot of light. So it takes commitment, our Lord says, to sit down and say, I'm regularly going to review what I'm being taught. God is teaching me some new things here, and I've got it down here. I've been journaling, or I've got the outline. I've got my message notes, and I haven't put in practice what I learned last week. Why should he teach me anything new this week? And so that's what Jesus is saying, that people that have no roots because they don't take the time, they don't allow it to go deep into God's word, into his moisture, so you can survive everything that life throws you. So you cultivate an open mind by allocating time and doing the hard work of getting your roots deep, taking time to listen. Look at number three, eliminate the distractions. A lot of times I miss what God is trying to say to me because my mind is filled with daily living issues, worries, things that are going on, plans, goals, ambitions, stuff on my to-do list, all these different things. My mind is full, and I'm always thinking, never giving God a chance to have a quiet heart, quiet spirit, quiet mind to hear that still, small voice. And when you're too busy, he can't get through. When you're doing too many things, they may be good things, but they can distract you from the better, the best things, which is not being too busy to listen to God. Verse 7, he says, other seeds fell among the thorns or weeds, which grew up with it and choked the plants. Verse 14, interpretation. This seed that fell among the thorns stands or represents those who hear the word, but as they go on their way, they're choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures. So the soil with weeds, this third kind of soil, again, remember, this is a mental attitude that we all share that he's talking about. So this is a preoccupied mind. This is a distracted mind. This is our Lord saying, you're never going to hear God speak to you if you're always busy tuning in to other signals, focusing on other things that are being broadcast. He's saying, beware of the busyness of life. Do not connect activity with productivity. He says, you're not talking to me. You're not allowing me to talk to you. You've got to eliminate these distractions so you can tune in. So Jesus says, all these distractions, all the things that you and I have to deal with to live in this earth, he's saying they're like weeds. He gives us three examples. Weeds can distract you from hearing God speak because you're preoccupied. So he says, riches can be a weed in your life. He's saying we're so busy making money, we're so busy working, we're so busy focusing on what has to happen to make a living that we don't really live. God gets crowded out. God gets the leftovers of our life. So he says, riches, if you will. The making of a living can be a weed. Another weed, he says, can be pleasures. There's nothing wrong with pleasures. God gave you senses. He gave you vision. He created things for your enjoyment, for your pleasure. Pleasures are not bad in and of themselves. But what God is saying is if they become dominant, if you say, you know what, it's really nice out. It's summer. Instead of worship, worshiping God, I'm going to go to the lake, or I'm going to do this, or I'm going to do that. Whatever it might be, when recreation replaces worship, what he's saying is when the pleasures become dominant and take the place of God, of who is number one in life, God is saying, guess who gets crowded out? It's him, and you don't hear him. So here's a very deep theological question for you. How much effort does it take to grow weeds? You should see my yard right now. Got nothing but weeds and wild onions and wild garlic and all the stuff that grows around here. Not a lot of grass. It takes no effort, he's saying, to grow weeds. Weeds are a sign of neglect, if you will. And so what he's saying is that when I start neglecting time with God on a daily basis, when he isn't a priority, when I neglect a small group, or I neglect other Christians in worship, or I neglect a Bible study, or I neglect my quiet time, whatever it is, he's saying when you neglect, it doesn't take any effort. Those things will rise up, will choke God out of your life. And then when the spiritual life gets choked out of me because of all these weeds that are growing up, he's saying, I'm going to lose my joy, I'm going to lose my peace, I'm going to lose my purpose, I'm going to lose my calmness. All of these things that help me handle the stress in daily life, he's saying, these weeds will choke the life out of you. And they come simply, they grow on their own by neglecting time with God. It makes it difficult to hear him. Look at number four. I must cooperate with what he says. So God talks to people who decide in advance what they're going to do with what he tells them. Most of us want God to talk to us. Most of us want to understand what God wants you and I to do in this situation or whatever it may be. And we'll say, God, talk to me. And when I understand what it is you're saying, then I'll decide whether or not I'm going to do it. And God says, wait, no. We don't play that game. That's not how it works. God talks to people who are going to obey what it is that he tells them once he tells them. And so if you want to understand what God is saying to you, if you want him to speak to you, you say, okay, God, I'm going to do what you tell me to do, whether I completely understand it, whether I completely agree with it, like it or not, I know it's going to be the right thing because you love me, you want what's best for me, and so whether it makes me happy or not, I'm going to do it. It's a matter of trust. So Jesus is saying this fourth soil here, this is the attitude that we want to have. It represents a willing heart, willing to do whatever God tells us to do before he even tells us. Verse 15. The seed on the good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart who hear the word of God and retain it. That's the important word there. And retain it, and by persevering produce a crop. So they not only hear God's word, but they retain it. They write it down. They listen to it. They think about it. They go over it. They meditate on it. And the result is a productive life. God speaking in through that medium and you being affected, impacted as a result. So, make our life count. James 1:22 tells us this. Don't merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. You kid yourselves if you think you're growing by just going to church. Let me repeat that. You kid yourself if you think you're growing by just going to church. That's why Scripture says, do what it says. So do I have a closed mind? Hard, narrow, compacted? Do I have a superficial mind? Gets excited about a service or a message and then I walk out and I forget about it all? Do I have a distracted mind that wants to do the right thing, but I've got so many things going on that, like weeds, they just grow up and choke out God in me? Or do I have a willing mind? That's the attitude, Jesus says, that needs to be if you want to hear from God. So I just close with one question. What are you going to do as a result of today's message? The Bible says, be doers of the word, not hearers only. do something. Nike would say, just do it. So the moment you walk out the door, there's going to be a bird that wants to steal the seed of what we talked about today, the devil. He's going to get you distracted. He's going to get you focused on lunch and the next issue. He's going to have you distracted by the guy that pulls out in front of you on 321. But what Jesus is saying is, if you want to make this count, if you want this message to not be a waste, then here's a homework project for you. Do one thing as a result of today's message. Don't let another week go by. Take this message and do one thing that will impact your life, so you will be that fourth attitude, that fourth soil, so you will be more receptive to hear God. And I don't know what it may be. You will know. It might be joining a Bible study. It might be starting a small group. It might be memorizing a Bible verse a week. It might be starting a quiet time or getting back to it. Whatever it is, I don't know what it is for you, but don't waste what this message says, because the fact is, if you don't do something with it, it won't change. Let's pray. Father God, you've told us what to do. You've said you want to speak to us. Help us to have open minds, not closed minds. Help us not to be shallow-minded, but to really review, think, study, go over things we learn and that you teach us through so many different ways. And Father, when you speak to us, help us to care enough to write it down, to remember it, because otherwise we forget it. Forgive us for having to learn the same lessons in life over and over and over. Help us not to be distracted by the good things, the secondary things, that would keep us from the best thing, the primary thing, of spending time listening to you, hearing you through your word, talking to you in prayer. Help us to have an open and willing heart and do what you want us to do. And help us do all of that in Jesus' name.